SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretzi. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the people that bust them, the Rick Saratellas, and everybody else in between. AllAccessFootball.com, the founder of the NFL Draft Bible in the house, and in immortal words of Keith Jackson, whoa, Nelly! It's been a wild weekend and a wild 96 hours in the professional football world. Rick Saratella in the house. How you doing, my man?
Oh, baby, buckle up. It's the best time of the year, Gabriel Morenci, my favorite time of the week. Let's get into it.
All right, so listen, you and I have some fun. We throw some darts at the board. Some of them hit the board. Some of them hit some patrons in the bar. Oh, sorry. right, but we finally got one right. You and I both agreed that Justin Fields and the New York Jets were a good fit for each other, right? Not just for one, but for each other. And when it's all said and done, Justin Fields ends up getting $40 million from the New York Jets. What are your thoughts on the deal and the signing?
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you weigh the options and you look around and you see what they are, I mean, this was the best possible option for the Jets. They weren't going to reunite with Sam Darnold or Geno Smith. And so they had to find a veteran guy because they're not going to get one of the top rookie quarterbacks in Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. So Justin Fields is the next best option. It's basically a one-year deal, right? If it doesn't work out, they can get out of it for $30 million 1 year. And if it does work out, then they'll be restructuring that contract around this time next year with the long-term deal. So I like the move. I think he's a more polished passer than Lamar Jackson coming out. I just don't think he's had the time or leeway. Like, he didn't have the leash. Like Chicago, he went 7-10. They got rid of him. They didn't win that many games this year. Pittsburgh, he goes 4-1. They bench him. Russell Wilson couldn't hold his jock strap. So maybe he'll get an opportunity with the New York Football Jets.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Justin Fields that coaches don't want to leave him on the field and give him more of an opportunity. But I thought the Jets was a perfect fit, as you stated, when you look at the alternatives. And as you stated too, they've already had everybody, right? Just Sam Darnold and Geno Smith. So, like, you know, Daniel Jones already played stadium. But as far as Sam Darnold is concerned, a lot of people are wondering, considering it a lateral move from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold, but they did get a third round pick out of it. Sam Darnold is like 8 years younger than Geno Smith as well. What are your thoughts on what the Seattle Seahawks have done in getting a second round pick for DK Metcalf, adding a third round pick for Geno Smith, bringing in Sam Darnold? Clearly Jaxon Smith-Njigba will be the guy, their number one weapon at wide receiver. But what else do you see the Seahawks having up their sleeve? What are your thoughts on what McDonald and Schneider and the Seahawks are doing?
Yeah, well, I think there's a relationship there with Kubiak, and so I think Darnold will do well. But, I mean, is that an upgrade or is it a downgrade? I've heard arguments from both sides of the ball. I don't want any one of these guys leading my team, quite honestly. But, you know, Seattle is kind of a changing of the guard, really. Like, you know, they could be a dark horse sleeper team. They're somewhere
in the
middle.
The defense is good, Rick, right? On the defensive side, like, if you look at their defense, they're sort of ahead of schedule. They drafted well.
Yeah.
You know, look, Murphy's a good player. They have a decent secondary. They had injuries last year. McDonald's a good defensive coach. I think defensively, they're going to be fine. And offensively, they did need, like, a little bit of a renovation, for lack of a better word, don't you think?
Yeah, you're going to see him really lean on that run game, right, with Kenneth Walker III. They got
Can Zach he stay Charbonnet. Healthy? That's the big question for me, because Walker doesn't stay on the field enough.
Well, I think he was pretty healthy last year, and Zach Charbonnet is a nice backup to have. He didn't have to see the field a lot last year, so I think they have a nice 1-2 punch there. They won't have to lean on Darnold so much. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is probably looking around the wide receiver room like, you've been anointed, my man. You know, I don't think it's going to work out in terms of Seattle being a contender in the NFC. They'll be competitive, but this is what I call rebuilding on the fly. Like, Seattle never really officially blows it all up. They just kind of rebuild on the fly. I expect them to draft. Where I was going to go is they're somewhere in the middle of the first round. Like, if Seattle were to take Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart there at 17, I think it would not shock me, right? They did that blueprint. John Schneider was there when they signed Matthew Flynn. They drafted Russell Wilson in the third round. And so maybe it's the first round, maybe it's day two. I don't know, but I don't think that Sam Darnold is the end-all, be-all. It provides stability for the next 3 years. You're paying him a Baker Mayfield starter type of money, so he's the guy you're going to roll with. But I think they're going to explore options, try to draft somebody, maybe develop somebody in the pipeline.
I think money, you know, all comes into play as well with this. Like, look, as you stated, Rick, it's debatable. Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, okay? But Geno Smith is going to get paid more than what Sam Darnold got from the Seahawks with the Raiders, right? And I guess, like, they weren't, like, you know, rushing to trade DK Metcalf. I don't think they were really, you know, against it. But $30 million a year, like, would you pay them? Like, what do you think of the Steelers paying, you know, $150 million a year and they don't have a freaking quarterback? And they have other flaws on their roster, too. And they just bring in, like, DK Metcalf for all that money.
Supply and demand, right? I mean, the Steelers have been searching for a real number one wide receiver. I don't know if George Pickens is that guy. I'd be a little bit leery to give him that big money just because of the neck history. The coming out of college, I remember there was a lot of concern about the neck injury, and that's why he kind of slid in the NFL draft. And you got to be careful with those kind of injuries because they could always creep back up on you, and then suddenly it's all over. I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot of smoke surrounding Aaron Rodgers going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You talk about a combustible locker room. I know Mike Tomlin can handle it, right? He wears his big boy pants to work. But, I mean, you talk about Pickens and DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my, oh, my, me.
Yeah, well, you know what? It'll be entertaining.
It'll be, there's your hard knocks team right there.
Hey, so listen, how about another team in this division? How about this whole Myles Garrett stuff in which I'm never going to play there again. I want out. Okay, no, I got paid. I'm good. Right? Like, everything that changed in a hurry. And let me ask you, is Kenny Pickett's their starting quarterback right now, right? Kenny Pickett's the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I think all signs indicate that Cam Ward is going to be the first overall pick. I do believe that. And so you have Kenny Pickett, who was a former first round in his own right, got some Super Bowl experience.
So then who goes second? If Cam Ward goes first, to, let's say hypothetically he goes first, the Cleveland Browns, Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, baby. I don't have the bling, but you see me if you're watching on the live stream, baby. I mean, Shedeur Sanders. I mean, I think it's a quarterback-driven league. And you've got a half a dozen teams that still need a starting quarterback. So you can't pass up on the opportunity to take one of these guys, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. They might not be the best two players in the draft, but it's the most important position in all of sports.
The media and the mock drafts have absolutely buried Shedeur Sanders. You and I talked about it last week after the combine, in which I said, I don't know how a guy could fall so much, supposedly, when he didn't do anything. I'm like, he actually, guy standing there in a tracksuit, and you all buried him. I like what he said. Remember, I talked about how Deion told him, don't listen to what people are going to say about you before the draft. They're trying to get you to fall so that team can take you. And I like what Shedeur said when they said, are you worried? Are you concerned about the reports that you've fallen in the draft? And he said, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the media. I'm with him. I'm with you. So you say he's going second overall. I stand by you, Rick. I like where you're going with this.
Hey, man, I am believing that hype, and I want a Flavor Flav Public Enemy remix with Shedeur Sanders, Chuck D, Flavor Flav. Don't Believe the Hype is a sequel remix.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Tuesday. This is Sports Rage. I am RNC, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're breaking it down with our main man, Rick Saratella, talking NFL football. We'll get you caught up to date with some of the draft numbers. But, Rick, so all these, you know, Geno Smith to the Raiders. We got Justin Fields right. You and I both thought it was a good fit. I personally thought Daniel Jones would have been a good fit for the Raiders. And I would rather have gone Daniel Jones than, you know, hooking up with Geno Smith and giving him big money for the next 3-4 years. But at the same point in time, it's all circumstance, right? Pete Carroll is the coach. He likes Geno Smith. Pete Carroll isn't 37. The guy's like 74 years old or whatever. He's not interested in, like, you know, teaching a young quarterback how to play. But what about Daniel Jones? And in my opinion, somebody asked me earlier, what do I think is going to happen in Indianapolis? I said, I think Daniel Jones is going to be the starter in Indianapolis. And Anthony Richardson won't be an Indianapolis Colt in the next. Does he get traded this year? Or I say by next year for sure. I don't think Richardson's going to be a Colt. I don't think Steichen likes him.
Well, I don't know how much longer Anthony Richardson will be a Colt, and I don't know how much longer Chris Ballard will be the GM. And, you know, I say that with all due respect because Chris Ballard's a longtime supporter of the NFL draft, Bible, good friend. But, you know, when you sign up for Daniel Jones to be your starting quarterback, you better update that resume because you're going to be the next one in the unemployment line. I mean, this guy is not built to start at all in the National Football League. And, you know, you might actually go backwards. You know, I've seen Daniel Jones' body of work. Unfortunately, I've had to put up watching every single one of his games. And this is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And so
you don't think he has a potential. And the thing is, with Jones, like maybe with Minnesota, you know, I was thinking about that with Jones. Like, it's not like the Colts are great. It's not like he's surrounded by a ton of talent. But I do think he'll beat out Anthony Richardson for the job. But so you don't believe that Daniel Jones has a potential sort of Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield career turnaround in him?
Absolutely not. Beating out Anthony Richardson is not a big deal to me. The guy can't play quarterback. He can't throw the football, can't process defenses. He can't make reads or progression. So beating out Anthony Richardson is not an accomplishment. There is some smoke, I shall say, with Pittsburgh. If they don't land Aaron Rodgers, could they make a play for an Anthony Richardson as a reclamation project? You know, that's where Pittsburgh has gone the last season. Since it seems like since Ben Roethlisberger has left, really. But, you know, all these quarterbacks that are available, they're available for a reason. They all have warts. So what are you willing to live with? What are you willing to die with? Chris Ballard made a bad move.
And ultimately, if you look at the Los Angeles Rams, I think that was what they realized as well with Matt Stafford, right? You know, what are we going to do if we don't bring Stafford back? They had the advantage, or I should say luxury, of kind of knowing that Stafford didn't want to leave Los Angeles, like didn't want to move out of his nice house and his wife's podcast and exactly, right? Like they knew this guy doesn't want to move. So, right. So they sort of had him, but you know, it was a mutual. So, you know, listen, stuff goes back and forth and it's like, yeah, whatever. Well, you know, when the season starts, everybody's happy again. But going back to the NFC West, you look at the San Francisco 49ers shedding a lot of dead weight and sort of retooling right now. Seattle sort of, you know, retooling right now. Arizona, I think, going in the right direction, but still not quite there yet. The Rams become a force here. Like, you know, let me ask you, like, this, and then the Commanders, we didn't get to the Commanders too. They've been pretty aggressive. Like, the Commanders are like saying, yeah, we want to win now. We want to take advantage of Jaden Daniels' rookie contract right now. Who's the biggest threat to the Philadelphia Eagles coming into the year in the NFC? The Commanders or the Rams?
Oh, good question. You know, I would say it was the Rams.
Both contenders, though, right, Rick? I mean, in my opinion, the Rams are right up there.
Well, and two teams that the Eagles beat in the playoffs, right? You saw them hold on against the Rams at home in the snow, and I thought the Rams gave them the toughest matchup, right? They match up very well against the Eagles. So
you're right. The Rams gave the Eagles the toughest matchup in the playoffs that they played. They were right there. They were right there with them.
Oh, yeah. And
now they have Devontae Adams, too. I want to, you know, they throw in Devontae Adams. Not the player. He's not a superstar, but it'll work in McVay's offense with Stafford.
Yeah, well, they're going to get rid of Cooper Kupp, right? And so it's an exchange, right? They're still getting high-caliber output from the position. But I think the Rams are going to be a factor. I believe the Commanders are now the favorites in the entire National Football League. What Adam Peters has done, bringing in Laremy Tunsil. Are you kidding me? You bring in Laremy Tunsil and some of these other moves. I mean, I thought the Commanders are now the biggest offseason win. I don't have it in front of me, but the Commanders made a slew of moves. They've already had this young nucleus, up-and-coming team. This team's going to be a problem for a very long time. As long as Jaden Daniels can stay upright and healthy, I've actually got the Commanders to win the NFC East, win the Super Bowl. But hey, we're still in March. So
yeah. Still a lot of football to be played. A lot of things can happen, but as it is now, and it's pretty crazy, the Commanders aren't getting a lot of love, Rick, like, to be honest. If you look at the odds, NFC, this is just not Super Bowl odds, guys. NFC Conference, Philadelphia Eagles, 3-1, plus 300. Detroit Lions, plus 400. San Francisco 49ers, plus 700. Washington Commanders, plus 850. Green Bay Packers, 10-1. Rams, 10-1. You got to be kidding me. Like, you know, like, have the odds makers paid attention? Like, the Lions, you know, what about the Lions? Are the Lions going to be right back there despite losing some players and, you know, losing basically their entire coaching staff, not just their coordinators, everybody?
Yeah. Well, I've seen this script before right down in my backyard with the Eagles. Remember, you know, they hit a bump in the road when they lost Steichen and Jonathan Gannon and
coordinators.
I mean,
I was going back to like Frank Reich and Peterson, even actually. You know, remember, even after they won the Super Bowl, then Reich left and they weren't the same after.
That's right. And when you lose, like last time I checked, it could be more now. The Lions lost at least six coaches, right? And I know they brought in David Shaw, the former Stanford head coach. Great pickup, by the way, but he doesn't
smart guy.
Yeah, but, you know, you lost a lot of quality coaches that went out that door.
Yeah, it's not like you just lost your special teams coordinator or something. Like, you lost everybody. And, you know, you lost Aaron Glenn, heart and soul. Like, you lose Ben Johnson, smart guy. More with Rick on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple more minutes with Rick Saratella. The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. We were just taking a look at the NFC Conference championship odds. And, all right, Philadelphia Eagles 3-1. Lions, all right, I'm not saying the Lions are going to be terrible suddenly, but are the Lions better than the LA Rams? Should the LA Rams be 10-1 to win the conference? Hell, the Commanders plus 850 to win the conference. And how about the San Francisco 49ers? Are you buying or selling the Niners stock coming into this year?
You know what? I'm selling on the 49ers stock. I'm a little bit sour on just the inability to take the next step. And you had Purdy on this rookie quarterback deal. You had all this talent around him. Now you've got Purdy due up for a payday, and you're shedding all the talent. I mean, look at all the pieces that are going. Ayuk is gone. Debo's gone. Juszczyk is gone. The running back has kind of been a committee type. I don't know what Christian McCaffrey – I mean, like, anything that guy gives me is a bonus. If McCaffrey comes back, great, but that's a serious injury he's coming off of. So they just lost Javon Kinlaw, another pickup by the Commanders, okay? You talk about Dan Quinn stealing Javon Kinlaw from the 49ers, big move. So the 49ers are getting fleeced left and right. I don't think they're better than the Rams. I think the Cardinals are right there with them, and they're going to have a tough time skiing out there in the West Coast Rocky Mountains. You know, Seattle's probably the worst team right now, but San Francisco, I don't know. I'm kind of selling my stock on the 49ers.
Rick Saratella with us. Rick, quickly on the New England Patriots. Not a glamour team anymore, but they bring in Mike Vrabel, and they spent $244 million. Rick, they definitely built their depth, right? I mean, the cupboards were bare, so they said, all right, we just got to start, you know, filling holes here, and let's start off. They bring in Milton Williams, Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, Carlton Davis, $244 million spent. What are your thoughts on the Patriots?
Well, when they had the most cap money to spend in free agency, and I believe that's a devil's advocate, right? Because anytime you build through the free agency, you've got to overpay for needs. And guys like Landry get overpaid. Milton Williams was a system guy. He didn't deserve that kind of money. And so this is where you get hurt, quite honestly. I've always believed you build, you draft, you develop, and you use the cap money to extend guys that you draft and develop in-house. I think this is where you get hurt, signing other people's free agents that nobody wanted and overpaying top dollar for the need.
And how about the Chicago Bears stockpiling on the offensive line to protect Caleb Williams? You gotta like what the Bears have done, huh?
That was needed. That was necessary. And offensive line is one position that I am an advocate for overpaying, just because there's not enough of them.
They're hard to get good ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So what they did, they got three new starters now in the interior offensive line. They drafted and built the tackles. That's going to be a damn good offensive line. Caleb Williams, now you got no excuses to succeed.
You know, the thing with Caleb Williams is, though, if you give him time, he'll pick you apart. Right, he's good on the fly, but you don't want him on the fly every play. As you stated, you know, the pieces are in place. They've got the skill position players. Now they're building the offensive line. Rick Saratella with us just for a couple of more moments. So, Rick, every week, this has been a wild draft process. Let's just get, you know, the draft here. We'll get back to the draft next week. But literally every week when you hit refresh, there's new odds. Like, there's new players. What we talk about, guys, you just sort of pull the trigger and get a bunch of plus money plays. And at the end, you kick back, and you got this guy and that guy and this guy. You know what? Plus 400, plus 265. And, you know, Abdul Carter for a couple of weeks. Oh, he's going to be the top pick. He's the favorite to be the top pick. Suddenly, here's Cam Ward now at minus 300, Rick, to be the top pick. Abdul Carter is plus 240. Travis Hunter, big dropped off down to 16 to 1. Shedeur Sanders, 22 to 1. So the sports books now have it down between Cam Ward and Abdul Carter for the top pick. Who do you think is going to be the top pick?
Well, Abdul Carter, there's something going on with that right foot that's a little bit more serious than led to believe. Right now I have Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, Travis Hunter 3, Abdul Carter 4.
Rick Saratella. Rick, it's always a pleasure, my man. Countdown of the draft is on. What do you got coming up?
I'll be at Rutgers Pro Day representing today with the shirt here. I'll be at Rutgers Pro Day on Wednesday. Of course, the NFL draft. Are you ready? We got the Canadian Cannon coming on the show with me and Brian Baldinger Friday, 10 a.m. over at theallaccessfootball.com. Of course, the 2025 NFL Draft Bible coming at you next month. Over 500 scouting reports. Buckle up.
Yeah, and Rick does a weekly draft breakdown with the great Brian Baldinger. Great stuff. Keep up the great work. Rick, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks, Gabe. Love you, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. Sports Good Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. The Twisted Tuesday continues. 3-0 for the Montreal Canadiens right now over to Vancouver Canucks. You know, Canucks just can't buy a goal. This happened to them against the Dallas Stars. They played well for the most part. Like, you know, the effort, you know, for the most part was there. They couldn't buy a goal. Bad luck. Then, boom, the same thing tonight. They're getting shots on goal. Montembeau's on top of his game tonight. And the Canadians bury their chances when they get them. So 3-0 right now. Canadians in the middle of a wild card chase. Let's send it to Montreal. It should be noted that Idaho and Montana just got started. The Vandals on a little bit of a run right now. I'll tell you, the two games they played against Montana this year were both close. So, you know, I sort of think Montana will win this game, but it wouldn't shock me if it was a close game. You're getting 6.5 right now with the Vandals. Total 149.5. It was 146.5 before tip-off. And St. Mary's and Gonzaga, 58-51 final score. If you're wondering why it was as low scoring as it was literally one of the worst shooting games in the history of college basketball. We'll bring in Mo Khan right now. Mo, good to see you. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. As I stated, I'm not exaggerating when I say it was one of the worst shooting performances in the history of college basketball. They went a combined 1 for 31 from three tonight. St. Mary's loses by 7. You believe this? They yeah. lose by 7, Cam. What? They were 0 for 16 from 3. 0 for 6. Like, dear God, if you would have hit one shot, we would have, like, at least pushed at 4.
Oh.
1-3. If you would have made 1-3. But get this. Gonzaga were 1 for 15.
Unreal.
They went 1 for 31. 3.2%.
That has to be the worst.
Remember I told you, you said you would do better than that at the free throws? I said, no, you wouldn't. Like, yeah. I give you, would you hit one, could you do better than 1 for 31 from 3?
Come on, Morenzi, you know me. Like, I don't want to sound like Al Bundy, but you got to give me 31 threes. I'll hit, I got to believe I can hit a couple. Like, give me a break. Like, that's brutal. I'm shocked.
You believe that, Mo? One of the worst, like, what a train wreck.
I watched that game. It wasn't pretty. If you're St. Mary's, you know, because of that loss, you have to wonder now where they're going to drop in the 64, right? And now for Gonzaga, they're saying at the end of the game, they probably avoid being the 8-9 seed, move up to 7, and avoid potentially playing a 1 seed in round 2 of the tournament in 2 weeks' time here. So I think right now for Gonzaga, they're probably more settled going into this tournament. And for St. Mary's, they got some question marks because they are go big or go home type of mentality. And that 3-point shot was lacking today. They hit 2 of those threes, guys. They probably beat Gonzaga and probably cement themselves as a higher end seed.
Oh, for 16. That's just one of them. What are you going to do? Like, you know what I mean? So this is at the worst.
Don't you think? Like, look, they beat Gonzaga.
Oh, no, they're good. But like Mo said, it's just about their seeding. Yeah. But worst 3-point shooting in college basketball in the last 20 seasons. Duquesne and Lipscomb went 1 for 40 in 2019. Wow. Vanderbilt and Tennessee went 1 for 33 in 2020. St. Mary's and Gonzaga went 1 for 31 tonight, 3.2%. And Jackson State and Southern went 1 for 31 in 2007. So, like, historically, like, it literally is. Like, it's the third worst shooting game in college basketball in the last 20 years. So, yeah, what a train wreck there. 3-0 for the Montreal Canadiens right now. I wanted to get to the best of X. We'll get Mo's take on all this NFL news, but this best of X stuff was too good. So yesterday, and I've said this before, on a yearly basis, jerseys get worse, T-shirts get worse, baseball hats get worse, logos get worse. Like, yeah, seriously, I don't know what university, seriously, I don't know what school or what designer or whatever. I don't know, like, where all you new designers are coming from, but you suck. Like, it's terrible. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the baseball alternate jerseys, like, they look incomplete or they look like defects. Like, yeah, it'd be cool if you didn't screw that up and put a line through it or whatever it is they do. So baseball came up with, this is New Era. They came up with, like, these alternative hats, overlap, they're called. So basically you've got the team's name, but then they put the letter on top of it. And they really did not think this through very well, evidently. Let's go. Let's check somebody's hats. Roll it. Best of X. All right. So let's start off with the Houston one. Assholes.
Assholes, yeah.
Let's go, assholes. This is the best one. Leave this one up here. This is the best one up. So anybody that speaks Spanish is aware of tetas and what this means, and we'll put it in politically correct terms, but it means breasts, but with a T, like literally and figuratively. Like, that one really shocks me. They didn't look at that and go, well, you know what, like, this actually, we can't do this, like, we can't, like, we've got to, like, doesn't work. This one is, this one too, anals, A-N-A-E-L-S, so they went with the anals here. Like, I got to believe, like, and this one, too, this is good. Boston. Boban. Let's go, Boban. This one, I don't know, like, the Mazers. This one. Like, and not to be outdone. We have a literal, hey, ass hat. There's an ass hat, Cam. It's a literal ass hat.
Like, you can't believe me when you're designing that. It says ass on it.
For,
like,
the record, baseball is pulled.
Yes.
Baseball has pulled two of them from their website, already from the website. They pulled the Ranger one down, and they apologized, and they said, we made a mistake. And it's too good that it got that far. And they pulled the Angels down as well. They caught on to the Angels one. So anybody, put the A's one back up if you can. Anybody that wants an ass hat, they're still up for sale right now. You got to order it before they pull it, though.
What?
Like they're eventually going to pull it. They're eventually going to pull this one, too.
Ass, it's sick.
Hey, ass man. Hey, ass man. What's up, man?
Remember the ass man. I got to tell you, yeah, so Tetez, too, like,
People want the Tetez one. People are like, oh, I want that one. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the Spanish, for sure. That's like, hey, yeah, let's rock. That's wild.
Yeah, that's baseball marketing for you right now. Like, they try to get, I don't know, they got publicity out of it at least, and people want to buy them. Like, they're almost better. Like, I don't understand, though. Every year they come up with these new designs and stuff, and they're all terrible. But Mo, 3-0 for the Montreal Canadiens right now. They're gaining ground. Rangers lose tonight as well. This is a massive game for them, and they've showed up. They're getting it done 3-0 late in the second period. Canadians are chipping away. They're in the mix right now.
They are, but also at the same time, the teams that are chasing, some are winning, right? And that's where they have to hope that if they can translate another winning streak and hope that the Senators and others above them will have like a losing streak, it plays into their hat. Now we're going to the final 22 games left in the regular season, guys. And, you know, the thing with this Montreal Canadiens roster is that they're a streaky team. There's no question about that. They were, 21-8 in November, December, and January. That put them in this conversation. They lose 5 in a row before the break, and then they win, and they lose 2 on this West Coast trip right now. And we'll see what they do against Vancouver with them now in the pole position to win this game here. But there'll be that conversation. But, guys, as I told you before, I think Habs fans want to see progress and want to see them be relevant going towards the end of March. But I don't know if they have the horsepower to get into the playoffs, but want to have that building block towards training camp in October to say, look, we'll be in that conversation next spring, but this time, at this time next year, we'll be in that playoff race going towards our first actual best out of 7 series in God knows how long in a real format that it was before COVID had that playoff format as well.
Yeah, it's crazy that the bar is that low in Montreal, but it is what it is. You can't erase reality. And I think it's true. The Ottawa Senators, listen, the Senators, I think, are going to make the playoffs. They're peaking right now. Right, you know, you got Brady Tkachuk, who's just on fire, you know, get on my shoulders type of deal. They're uncomfortable. Columbus are a shock. I think the Rangers fade, Mo. And the Bruins, who knows about the Bruins? So the Canes have a shot, but I think they do.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're getting punched in the mouth here tonight. I'm looking at my account. I'm like, I don't know what happened. I've been streaky. I won 8 bets in a row. Then I see I lost 5 in a row, and I'm sort of been down. But my account seemingly should have more money in it. It's kind of disappointing right now. And I'm looking for, like, a bailout. Like, I'm like, not a bailout, but I'm like, all right, what can I hit on the way out here? The Preds are up 1-0 on the Sharks right now, midway through the second period of play. The Kings are up 1-0 on the Islanders. The Canadians were up 3-0. The Capitals were up 3-2. Like, nothing in hockey is really jumping off the screen to me that I'm going to want to go big on. And basketball, we're down to a real D-gen special, Montana and Idaho. Right? So when you're betting on Montana and Idaho games in the middle of the night, you know you're hardcore and or you've got a gambling problem, which I actually I'm both. So, yeah, let's go. I'm thinking the over here, but they went under both times they played. I keep waiting for the total to drop. It's 147.5 right now
in this game. After the show. That's my thing now.
Horse racing.
After the show. I love it. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm going to play the over 147.5 here. Idaho, Montana, and hope for the best. That's what it was before the game started, and that's what it is right now. So it's sort of on pace right now. All right, so a lot of football news going on, and the Seattle Seahawks have been in the middle of a lot of this stuff. I just spoke about this with Rick Saratella. They've done a nice job stockpiling draft picks, the Seahawks. I don't mind what they've done so much. Like, yeah, last year, Mo, was the Raider fan. So Geno Smith is with the Raiders now. And this is just like a clear example, like Pete Carroll at his age doesn't have time. They don't want to deal with a young quarterback. So they figured, all right, we bring in Geno Smith. I don't really know if this is good for the future of the Raiders, right? I mean, it is what it is. But from Seattle's perspective, Sam Darnold's younger and he was cheaper as well. Geno Smith wanted to get paid. Sam Darnold just signed for 3 years for $100 million, right? So the Seattle actually got younger and cheaper. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't hate it for Seattle here and what they've done so far, but we've got to like see the full body of work and what they do now in the draft. Because I'll tell you one thing, like the skill position players, the depth chart is pretty thin with the Seahawks now, but let's start off with the Raider and Seahawk quarterback situation. What do you think of Geno to the Raiders and Sam to the Seahawks, Mo?
I think it's perfectly fine for the Raiders to get a guy like Geno Smith, right? Change the culture. That's what they have to do. Get a guy in there that's going to change the culture. They probably realize the quarterback availability now after Matt Stafford was not to their liking. Whether they're looking at Cam Ward or Shador Sanders, who knows, or Jackson Dart, who knows. The reality is it gives them that flexibility to say at number six, we can maybe take a quarterback or go somewhere else in the draft board. I think for Seattle, this is the situation now for them. Not to try and scrub away the Pete Carroll era of players, but they want to bring in their own brand, right? Mike McDonald has to win, guys. I mean, he's going to not a critical year, but a referendum year where is he the guy that can carry them to the next level? Remember, they changed the OC now, as Cam knows very well. So you're bringing Sam Darnold, bringing your own guys here, and the most important thing for them is their O-line. It was very porous last year and wasn't as dominant as they once were in years past, so can they improve that facet of their game? Because, look, you got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's a great ball catcher. You get themselves that running backs that they have working with. If Darnold can work efficiently, speaking here for the Seahawks, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win 10, 11 games here, but they'll be competitive going towards 2026, and that's where I think they'll make that step up in the latter if those draft picks end up being day one starters for them.
That was one of McDonald's first mistakes. He'll have a grace period there this year. But what he does this year sets up year three, the pressure will be on, right, in Seattle. Absolutely. Right? They're sort of going through this little bit of a transition. But his first mistake was the offensive coordinator last year. It was a strange hire. I said it at the time when he was hired. Ryan Grubb, he had zero NFL experience. The guy was the Washington Huskies offensive coordinator with Kalen DeBoer. He should have just went with Kalen DeBoer to Alabama. And all you need to know about Grubb is, where did he end up right now after he got let go by Seattle?
Alabama.
Right? Like, exactly. Back to college football. Right? Like, it wasn't like other people in the NFL were like, oh, you know what? They just let Grubb go. Let's bring him in. It was a strange hire. I'm not saying that Grubb, I'm not blaming Grubb for anything. I'm just stating that it was a strange hire to begin with. McDonald, your first year as a head coach. You've got all this talent on the offense, yet you bring in a dude that, you know, that had, he was the, you know, the coordinator of the Washington Huskies, not NFL coordinator. It's a big step up, and we saw it. So now they go with Clint Kubiak. So you see he's sort of retooling the roster here. Let's be real, guys. There's been a lot of lateral moves here, right, in the National Football League. It's musical chairs, right? You know, one guy, you know, on one team, and he ends up on the other team. Doesn't really make anybody better or worse so much so, but what do you think about Justin Fields to the Jets, Mo?
Look, the Jets are going to adjust this, right? They don't have any options right now, and it buys them a year because reality is that contract is really a one-year deal for both sides. So it gives the Jets that sense that, look, Justin Fields could be the guy. If not, we go into next year's draft class, which, by the way, has a lot better options for quarterbacks to look at, and draft our future franchise guy next season. So I think for Justin Fields, it's not a prove-it thing, but it's for him to say, look, if I can put up good numbers this year with the Jets, I can maybe parlay that into extending my career with the Jets, or if the Jets let me go, I'll get a bigger payday next year if it's not going to be the right fit down the road. But I think for the Jets right now, that's what they have to do. They weren't going to go Russell Wilson. They weren't going to go Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, any of those guys. So this was the next best option for them for this present moment going towards training camp.
They couldn't go with Darnold or Geno Smith. It would make them look bad. You know what I mean? Not that they need help. They need help doing that, but it would be like, really, after all this, you're bringing one of these guys back? You already had them. It's one of those one of those type of deals that it was like, well, you know, that's going to look bad. But I think Justin Fields to the Jets is a good fit. I just said it buys them time. He is athletic. You have a new coach in here that could retool the offense as well. I don't know if, like, you know, I think they're going to run the ball, right? They got two really good backs. Agreed. Don't forget they got Allen as well. So you got Hall and Allen. You can just play smash mouth football, run the football, lean on your defense. You won't have the Rodgers drama. You know, Adams isn't there anymore, so Wilson will be happier that he's once again the number one target. I don't hate it for the Jets.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's been a night of upsets tonight. Not that people like the mainstream are going to really, oh my God, Central Connecticut State lost, but Central Connecticut State did lose. People thought for sure they were going to win. Vermont wasn't a massive upset. But what was the one earlier? I talked about it. 16-17, they punched their ticket to the tournament for the first time. What team? There's so many of these games going on right now. Let's get some tournament predictions, though, before we get out of here. Who was it? I tweeted about this earlier. And for the record right now, we've done pretty well with the soccer. We gave you the Crew to win. The Crew won. We gave you LAFC and the Crew over 2.5. They got to 3. I gave you Cruz Azul to win against the Seattle Sounders. They won. St. Francis, thank you, Greg. Yeah, St. Francis. They came into the night 15-17. They're going to the dance, right? They're going to the tournament. The madness has begun. But Cruz Azul, like, rolled the Sounders. I played under 2.5. Cruz Azul won 4-1. And the last one going on right now, kind of a surprise. FC Cincinnati are winning right now 1-0 in Mexico against the Tigres. And the Tigres are good. And they're in trouble with the aggregate right now. It was tied already, so now FC Cincinnati are up 2-1. The Tigres are going to need a goal. They got 30 minutes still, but it's just pretty impressive from FC Cincinnati to do this right now. All right, let me get the futures up for these college tournaments, so we'll go rapid fire on the way out here and get some predictions. All right, to win conference tournament winner. All right, let's start off with some of the bigger boys here. All right, Big East, Mo. Let's go rapid fire. Big East. St. John's, yes St. or John. No? Do you think St. John's are going to get it done? They're plus 145. UConn are plus 400. Creighton are plus 400. Marquette are plus 550. Xavier are plus 850. Cam, what's your prediction for the Big East tournament?
I think it is going to be St. John's. I don't want to be chalky, but just what I've seen from that team, I think they're going to get it done. Yeah, I wish we got better value, Gabe, but that's the team I'm going to back.
I'm going to call it upset here along the way.
Creighton?
I don't know. UConn at plus 400, I think, are kind of dangerous. Just they'll have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to be good in a tournament setting. But I think Marquette. We just saw St. John's and Marquette play this last Saturday. It was a two-point game. Marquette can play with anybody, Mo. Like, you get them on a neutral. It's not neutral. It's in New York. But there'll be fans from everybody. I've been to the Big East. It's pretty neutral. And I know Marquette at plus 550, you know, I mean, I think is live. I like St. John's. I know they're good, but I'll go Marquette at plus 550. Big Ten tournament, Michigan State plus 250. Maryland have come on down the stretch, plus 400. Illinois plus 650. Purdue plus 650. Wisconsin plus 650. UCLA 7-1. Michigan 14-1. The Ducks 22-1. Indiana 50-1. What's your pick for the Big Ten, Mo?
Illinois. They've been tough this year. They play some teams very tough in conference play. I think they might make a run in this tournament and give themselves a real chance to maybe win this outright.
Cam, what's your pick? Big Ten tournament.
I like Illinois as my second pick, but I'm going to go with the Wisconsin Badgers in the three-hole there, plus 650. I think they can get this thing done. Michigan State's been playing great basketball, but I like the Badgers in the tournament.
I think Wisconsin's a good bet as well, a plus 650. I don't disagree with Illinois. Illinois can lose to anybody, but they can beat anybody. Illinois are like, you know, one of those teams. They look like really, really good, and then sometimes, but they've had injury issues, and when they're healthy, they are scary. I like that Badger pick at plus 650, pretty good odds with Illinois at plus 650. But I'll throw it out there. I'll say the Ducks guys at 22-1. It's a pretty big number. You know, if they can go on a little bit of a run, it puts us in a nice head situation coming into the weekend. All right, the Big West, UC San Diego, Mo, have been bettors' darlings. These guys cover the spread all the time. So in the betting world, people love them. They're minus 165. But you got the Anteaters, UC Irvine. These guys have that, you know, the pedigree come this time of the year. I'm going to go UC Irvine to knock off UC San Diego. What's your pick, Mo?
I second that. I've seen Irvine play earlier this in the month of February. Sneaky good. I like that pick a lot. So give me UC Irvine to do so, my friend.
Yeah, Irvine for Coach James Young. He'll take Riverside at 18-1.
Riverside.
The SEC tournament. Auburn +155. Man, we got to go for Purdue. Florida +250. Alabama +450. Tennessee +550. Kentucky 16-1. A&M 25-1. Missouri 30-1. Mo, what do you think about this stacked tournament?
A&M. Watch out for what they can do.
25-1.
Yep.
I said Florida. Can't agree with Florida, but I got Tennessee as my dark horse. +550. Not much of a dark horse. You can't dismiss Bama either, man. Bama are damn good. +450.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.